You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Locked On Broncos podcast, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode of Locked On Broncos is brought to you by MyBookie and Brews Brewery. Awesome stuff in store for you, the listeners of Locked On Broncos. We will tell you a little bit about them here in a tiny bit, but today on Locked On Broncos, we got a lot of craziness going on. The Broncos don't play on Sunday, which leaves us some room for Monday night's game. You know, it kind of takes the football anxiety away on Sunday, but we're going to have our Locked On Broncos pregame preview show airing on Monday on the Locked On Broncos podcast just for all of you guys, and then we'll immediately follow the game with a Locked On Broncos postgame report breaking down the Broncos and Chiefs Monday night football game. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Broncos and the NFL, and columnist at predominantlyorange.com. You can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL.
And I am Cameron Parker. You guys can follow me on Twitter as well, at Cameron Parker PO. It was a devastating day for the Denver Broncos, Cody, or at least on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, it was. You know, the Broncos suffered a pretty significant injury to one of their key guys, a guy who's actually been playing, I'd say, out of the position. He's the guy that stood out the most so far, despite him not being listed as the starter. And that news that we're going to announce at the top of the hour is Jake Butt tore his ACL in practice today, his left ACL. Now, if you guys know Jake Butt, he tore the ACL in his right knee during his final game at Michigan in that bowl game. He missed all of his rookie season, and now he will be missing the rest of the 2018 season. Now, Cam, this is such a big blow, in my opinion, to the Broncos right now and what they have going, because he's been, to say the least, the best tight end for the Broncos in a lot of different ways, blocking and even receiving. He's been the top threat for Case Keenum, and now the Broncos lose that option.
I feel like a jinx because I wrote an article about him just yesterday saying how reliable he's been with the offense. I mean, you guys can go back and watch the highlights of the game-winning drives when Case Keenum has led the team. Jake Butt has, you know, he has made key catches in big moments. You look at the Seattle Seahawks game, I believe it was a 3rd and 17, where he caught a 20, or it was like a 17-yard pass, and then he took it and ran with it for the first down on that key third down to get into that red zone. He is proving to be that reliable target, or was proving to be that reliable target. And, you know, the Broncos had been searching, Cody. The Broncos have been searching for that tight end, a reliable tight end, for quite some time, really since the days of Owen Daniels and Joel Dreese and Julius Thomas. They've been really searching for that tight end. Jake Butt, in essence, emerged from that. I mean, I was throwing some stats around. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but it didn't seem like much stat wise, but it just shows you the comparison of where the tight end position was recently with the Denver Broncos. And Butt was a significant piece of this offense, and it's unfortunate. And who knows? Maybe we can get some Mr. Miyagi treatment on Troy Fumagalli, and he can get in here and get some game action. Not likely, but, you know, it's a next man up mentality, and Matt LaCosse is the next man up.
Yeah, and you know, Matt LaCosse really earned his roster spot in the preseason, had a very phenomenal preseason, so it's an opportunity for him to stand up and obviously make some plays. But, you know, when you go back, Jake Butt's impact, like you mentioned, I think it meant a lot more, and it displayed a lot more than the X's and O's and the statistics and a box score that really show just how effective he was, or just how much of a piece of the Broncos offense he really was. And we've seen when the Broncos don't have a receiving option at tight end that really can get open in across the middle of the field, be able to, you know, stab and go on a chip and release block and into a route into the flats or even across the middle of the field. The Broncos haven't had that in a long time, like you mentioned, since the last time of Owen Daniels, you know, Julius Thomas, and just things like Julian Thomas. But yeah, Julius Thomas. Orange Julius. Got a little tongue twisted there. But yeah, you know, they haven't had that. Virgil Green wasn't that guy for the Broncos, and now I almost question myself and wonder at this point, well, obviously you're going to have another tight end on the roster. The Broncos had three at this point, and you might have to bring in another guy. Matt Lacoste, you have him. Obviously, Jeff Eierman, you have him. But I would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised necessarily. I'm a little off today. If the Broncos brought back Austin Traylor, you know, I think there's a lot of options that the Broncos have there. But more importantly, they've really kind of struggled in terms of pass blocking from the tight end position. We did our Pro Football Focus grades the other day, and the tight ends were not that great in pass blocking. So that is an area where the Broncos really have to improve. But like I said, I liked what I've seen from Matt Lacoste in the preseason. He gets a chance to step up. It's the NFL business, next man up. But yeah, you know, like you said, Cam, it's terrible news for the Broncos right here early on in the season.
It really is. And, you know, maybe it was a little bit lofty, but, you know, it was a little bit of comparison, but you can understand why some of the scouts, and it wasn't just me, but you can understand why some of those draft scouts compared Jake Butt to Jason Witten. And you were seeing it. To talk a little bit about, you know, how comfortable he was in those game-winning drives. Do you remember back, Cody, when Jason Witten was with Tony Romo?
Yeah.
Tony Romo and Jason Witten were like the dynamic duo in crunch time. Every single time Tony Romo needed a big first down or a key first down on a third down or just to move the chains, there was only one person that he would go to. Well, except for the last few years of Tony Romo when he would go to Cole Beasley. But there was only one most reliable guy that he would ever go to, and that was Jason Witten. And it is really impressive to see that Jake Butt already or had already shown that type of maturity with Case Keenum. And you know, we wish him a speedy recovery. It's a scary thing when it's your third ACL already, ACL injury. We'll see if he can come about, but you know, it is devastating. And we'll see. You know, and there are a few options out there in free agency that I will throw out there. Obviously, you know, maybe the top guy out there is Kobe Fleener. You know, Anthony Fasano has some familiarity and down with the Miami Dolphins. Might want to bring him in. There is one interesting guy that is a wild card that I want to bring into this, and that's Michelle Rivera.
Oh, yeah, former Raiders guy.
Raiders guy.
I remember him. He was a pain. He always against Denver. Tight ends seemed to have that continued trend of having success, even if there was somebody that didn't really have a lot of success against other guys.
Yeah, and then not to mention, who's our offensive coordinator? Bill Musgrave. So it's, you know, and that might be the wild card here as far as to look out. And we all know that, you know, trade value has been thrown around as far as the cornerbacks that are concerned. And one player that you and I are certainly on board with. Now, question is will it ever come through? That's highly unlikely. But, you know, they might even look to the trade market for a tight end. You just never know.
Yeah, you never know in the NFL, and that's one thing that is always certain, is there is always a lot of uncertainty in what NFL teams are going to do. If we had an almanac that told us what the Broncos or what any NFL team was going to do, we could bet on it by using my bookie. We'll talk about them here in a little bit. But yeah, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over there at Brews Brewery. Please go check them out. They are phenomenal. They've got really great beer, and you're going to have an opportunity to get your first beer on the house. So listen right here. Brews Beers, the founders, they've had a long-standing love for the fine artisanal beers of Belgium, and both of them have traveled extensively in Europe, especially Belgium, where fine handcrafted beers are a national passion. Charlie and Ryan both met at a Belgian beer tasting that Charlie was conducting, and the rest of it is in the glass. And after years of hard work and preparation, their dream of a true Belgian-style brewery in Colorado is now a reality, and you can share that as well with Brews Brewery. Brews Beers, they offer you a wide selection of year-round, seasonal, and specialty brews, which includes sour and cask-aged beers and special limited releases that are absolutely satisfying. They have a dog-friendly venue inside and outside, and they also feature a dog food menu. If you're going to stay a little bit, have a beer, let your dog have some fun too and enjoy the show with you guys as well. And you have 100% Belgian-style beers. At Brews, quality is king. Only the very finest ingredients are used to produce small batches of truly authentic handmade beers, fine Belgian malts, hops, spices, fruits, and a diversity of Belgian yeast strains that ensure superior quality with no compromises to the flavor of your beer. And despite economic realities, they refuse to rush a brew, with some beers taking as many as 3 years to fully mature. We believe that results are worth it, and we bet you will too. The Brews Crew is dedicated to providing you with the freshest, highest quality Belgian-style beers in Colorado. So come by today and join them for some great beers. Mention the Locked On Broncos ad and Locked On Broncos podcast to them. And guess what? Your first beer is on the house, courtesy of Locked On Broncos. I want to thank our guys over there at Brews Brewery for that. They're located at 1675 West 67th Avenue, Suite 100, Denver, Colorado, 80221, at the intersection of 67th Avenue and Petco Street. Once again, at 1675 West 67th Avenue, Suite 100, Denver, Colorado. Tell them the Locked On Broncos podcast sent you over. So now we're going to get into our NFL picks of the week here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. No game for the Broncos on Sunday, but guess what? There's other NFL games, and we are going to do our pick 'em. So we're going to go back and forth a little bit, talk about maybe a couple of the key matchups. Right now, you got the Vikings and the Rams playing on the NFL Network, and that game is live right now. It's tied up 7-7 after the first quarter. Who's going to come out on top? I'm thinking it's going to be the Rams. I think they're going to play great defense late. Todd Gurley's going to be a big factor in this game. That's my prediction for the Vikings and Rams game. But let's take a look at our Sunday games, the first slate of games for the NFL community. And this is here in segment one. You got the Jets on the road taking on the Jaguars. And this is a game where the Jaguars are looking to respond after a loss last week. So a lot of questions there with the Jags. You know, defensively, they lost a couple stars. I believe I'm trying to remember the defensive lineman. He dislocated his ankle. The injury report on them, I got to talk to my guy, Zach Dahl, over there at Locked On Jaguars. He knows all that information. It's off the top of my head. It was just a free agent acquisition. I don't know if it was, I think it's Calais Campbell. I think that's who it was. But the Jets on the road at the Jaguars, that's a tough matchup for the Jets. Sam Darnold and company heading in to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Blake Bortles, that defense, I don't know, there's a little bit of a different vibe early on in the NFL this year, but you have the Jets on the road at the Jaguars. I'm taking the Jaguars as the home guys in this game.
I'm going to go Jaguars as well. You know, it's the Jets will probably play a little bit pissed off, knowing the fact that they lost to the Cleveland Browns on Thursday Night Football. But, you know, I think that the Jaguars, you know, they are one of the cream of the crop AFC teams. And I just think that this matchup overall is just one where I think the Jaguars just completely are overmatch of the New York Jets. So I think the Jaguars will come out on top. Now, the next game, Cody, you know, the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots, I don't think anybody, myself included, would have put the Miami Dolphins at 3-0. They are probably the biggest surprise at 3-0 at this point in the season. However, they are playing a struggling New England Patriots team. I don't think I ever would have put those two words together.
And the Patriots have dropped their last two games, which is definitely an odd start. And every year, I feel like the Patriots always have these games where everybody starts to question Tom Brady. Is this where Tom Brady and the Patriots are finally falling off? They had that loss, but, you know, a lot of it is without one of their top receiving threats. Danny Amendola, Rob Gronkowski hasn't really been effective. He hasn't had the year necessarily that the Patriots have wanted out of him, but it's early on. But the Dolphins, very surprising right now. You know, last week when Jordy Nelson of the Raiders had over 139 yards in the first quarter, I was thinking, okay, well, the Dolphins are going to come back down to earth. Well, the Dolphins rallied, got some trick plays. Adam Gase was creative. He dialed it up a little bit. And then, you know, they came out on top against the Raiders to drop them to 0-3, and they went to 3-0. So tough game on the road, divisional game against the New England Patriots. And anytime these two teams play, it's always a tough game. It's never really a blowout, whether it's on the road at Miami or on the road at Foxborough. It's always a close game. I'm picking the upset here. I'm going with the Dolphins. They're going to go to 4-0 on the year, and they're going to beat the Patriots in this one.
By record, it's not an upset, But I'm going to go and say that New England wins this game against Miami. However, like you mentioned, and this is something that has just transpired through multiple seasons when it's been the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. They just seem to have their number, Miami. Miami always, and it goes even before Adam Gase was their head coach, Miami Dolphins just knew exactly how to scheme against the New England Patriots. And what better person to understand the offensive scheme of the New England Patriots than now wide receiver Danny Amendola. You mentioned Danny Amendola. He's a wide receiver with the Miami Dolphins. And so who knows? We'll see. But, you know, clearly one of the fascinating stories for comeback player of the year, it's got to be Ryan Tannehill. But I'm going to go with New England. I'm going to go with New England. They come back, and it's going to be a very, very close matchup, though. But I'm going to go New England out on top.
Stay tuned on the Locked On Broncos Twitter handle, at Locked On Broncos. We're going to tweet our predictions for you guys. We want to hear your NFL predictions all throughout the week. Stay tuned for that tweet. Head over to at Locked On Broncos or at Cody Rourke NFL or at Cameron Parker PO. We're going to be talking about it, sharing it with the NFL community and our followers on Twitter. Next matchup, the Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions, are on the road to take on the Tennessee Titans. This is kind of, in my opinion, I look at it as almost like a trap game, kind of sorts. The Eagles didn't really play as well as they have been. They've kind of had a little bit of an off start. Carson Wentz returning really kind of revitalized them a little bit from what I witnessed last week for them. Having him back there was a big upgrade over Nick Foles. Evidently, you know, Carson Wentz last year was playing at an MVP type level. They got to go on the road and play the Titans, who are struggling right now. Quarterback, you know, Marcus Mariota originally wasn't starting last week. Quarterback goes down and then he had to go back in. But I got the Eagles on the road. They're going to secure this victory at Tennessee.
Yeah, who would have predicted that even Tennessee would be 2-1? But Carson Wentz is one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. And personally, he is my favorite quarterback to watch in the National Football League. How he uses his eyes, how he keeps his eyes downfield and hits his weapons. You know, hits a lot of his weapons, Darren Sproles, Alshon Jeffrey. You're now throwing Dallas Goedert in the mix, who was probably the best tight end out of the group in this year's draft class. So now the offense is starting to come together. And at some point, the defense for the Philadelphia Eagles will come together and start gelling as well. It's going to be a rude awakening for either Blaine Gabbert or Marcus Mariota, whoever starts the game.
Whoever.
I got Phillies.
Yeah, whoever starts the game. You never know in the NFL these days. But yeah. I say this is an interesting year. The Texans, I didn't expect them to be struggling like they are right now. So, they're on the road. They're playing the Colts. Andrew Luck, you know, really impressive. He's getting his groove back. You can tell week in and week out he's getting more comfortable. I think that the Colts win this one at home in a divisional game. You know, Andrew Luck right now, he looks like a man on a mission. He's trying to get back to where he used to be. And what better way to do so at home against a divisional rival? Deshaun Watson, we haven't really seen enough from him this year that we saw last year. And you always have to wonder, is it because of that ACL injury? What's going on with him? I'm not sure at this point, but I got the Colts at home.
Well, it is in essence like a sophomore slump per se with Deshaun Watson, but you do wonder if that ACL injury is a lot into it. But I think that I'm going to actually go with a little bit of surprise, even though I think it's going to be very close. It is a divisional opponent. I'm going to say the Texans come out on top just for the sake that I think that no one, and in particular the Houston Texans, who are probably one of the better 0-3 teams in the NFL right now, I think that they come out on top and they win against the Indianapolis Colts in a close one.
That's crazy. We're talking about the best looking 0-3 teams.
Right.
<That's> crazy. And Broncos right now, you know, the Broncos as of late haven't looked like one of the best 2-1 teams. Unfortunately, they look like they've skated by a little bit. And is, you know, like you said, we talked about it all week here on the show. It's going to be a tough matchup for the Broncos at home with the Chiefs coming into town. Share a little insight that I got from my good friend Nick Ferguson, former Denver Bronco, and also a coaching intern for the San Francisco 49ers. We'll talk about that here in segment number two. Once we get back to the rest of the NFL games in our Pick'em Challenge. But before we get to that, we got to talk about MyBookie. Now, MyBookie, like always, they are the best one-stop shop, reliable sports betting that you are looking for to make more money today, and they offer you a variety of amazing features. You can now make live in-game bets or even bet on the over or the under of how many fantasy points a player will score. And right now, MyBookie is so slammed with new bettors, a lot of them coming from the Locked On Podcast Network. They want to give everybody the best service possible. So if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll chip in an additional $25 of free play on deposits that are made of over $100. That's 25 extra bucks. If you make a deposit that's over $100, they'll chip in, add into that as well. So join right now. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. If you put in $300, guess what? They are going to put in $300 as well. They're going to match your deposit dollar for dollar, and they will do that if you use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and use promo code LOCKEDON25. That's one word. When you create your account, to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold on until after 7 p.m., like I said, they will gift you an extra $25 in free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25. It's up to you guys. You play, you win, and you get paid with MyBookie. And also on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NFL is becoming everybody's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Mondays on Locked On NFL, it features the local experts on the biggest stories of the week around the National Football League. On Tuesdays, you get to hear from former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels, who jumps into the pod with Matt Williamson to discuss the latest news and trends around the National Football League. And Wednesday, Pro Football Focus's Mike Renner joins the podcast to give you some great inside analysis through Pro Football Focus. Thursdays, you get to hear from Mike Sando of ESPN. And then on Friday, you get to hear Matt Williamson's picks, like we're doing right here today on the Locked On Broncos podcast. Head on over to Locked On NFL today. Subscribe, listen to them. Great, great show over there with Matt Williamson on Locked On NFL. All right, jumping back into it, we're going to continue with our NFL picks. Before we get off air here, we'll close it off with our prediction, Chiefs at the Broncos. But we are at the Bills, traveling to Lambeau Field to take on the Packers. The Packers struggling offensively, Aaron Rodgers still playing hurt. The Bills finding some source of renewal and energy with Josh Allen, a huge, huge win on the road for the Bills last week. Can they do it again on the road at the Packers when they play Aaron Rodgers? That's going to be the question. Josh Allen looked very good for the Bills. And I hate to say that because a lot of people had a lot of questions on Josh Allen, but he was an evident upgrade over Nathan Peterman at the quarterback position. I don't think they wanted to throw him in this early, but with how Peterman was playing, how the team was playing, Josh Allen provided them with a spark. He hurdled Anthony Barr last week. I got the Bills going on the road, and this is an upset. Last second field goal, the Bills kick a field goal and beat the Packers at Lambeau Field.
The definition of a poster in the National Football League is a hurdle. I mean, Sean Moreno did it over, I believe it was Ed Reed, if I'm not mistaken, right? Correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's like the definition of a poster in the National Football League. So seeing Josh Allen play the way that he did against the Minnesota Vikings was pretty incredible, to be honest with you. One of the things that I said in the pre-draft process between you and I, in the Cameron Parker show that I used to do, I said between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen is that those two were the most had the highest ceiling of anybody in the draft class. Who knows if they would ever achieve it? Who knows if they would ever accomplish that? But you see the tools with Josh Allen. He has that rocket arm. He has that mobility. You know, a lot of people certainly made the case that, well, he might be a Paxton Lynch. He might have been, but he is so much further along, as you can see, than Paxton Lynch, because he's clearly making the right reads. He worked in a pro style offense with Craig Bohl.
He had more than eight plays.
Yeah, I mean, right. So he is a very talented quarterback. The question is it going to be consistent? Is he going to play up to his competition? Well, what better way to play up to your competition than against one of the best defenses, maybe the best defense in football, and light them up like a Christmas tree. I think that, especially with this game, I would not be surprised if the Bills came out on top. So I'm going to go with the Bills, and I think they're going to be riding high on Josh Allen as well. But I'm going to say they're going to win by 10 points.
Oh, okay. There we go. We're going to tweet out our scores here on the Lockdown Broncos Twitter handle, as well as at Cody Rourke NFL, at Cameron Parker Peel. Stay tuned for that. Next matchup, we have the Lions on the road at the Cowboys. Lions coming off a big win against the New England Patriots. Cowboys really struggling in this game. Their only win came off of the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football. I think the Lions are going to go on the road and beat the Cowboys once again. And Cowboys Nation, or the apparently America's team, they will weep tears once again.
Yeah, they're definitely not playing like America's team lately. Dak Prescott seems like he has regressed badly. And you certainly do have to wonder, why did they release Dez Bryant in the first place? Because, you know, there's no weapons for Dak Prescott to go to. However, I come back to, I think Michael Gallup's a much better wide receiver than people give him credit for coming into the draft. So I think he'll be fine once he gets his feet wet in that process. But they're starving for a lot of targets. I mean, one player in particular starving for a lot of targets is Allen Hurns. We'll see if he gets it this week. I mean, you know, he certainly brought it up during the week. We'll see if it happens. But, you know, the Lions, they are a really, really good 1-2 team. I got the Lions in this one. Kerryon Johnson with another 100-yard day.
You just said that because he's on your fantasy football team, I'm guessing. But we'll see about that. But for the sake of time, guys, we got to rush through these last couple of picks to get to the Chiefs-Broncos game. We're coming near the end of our show here on today's episode of Locked On Broncos. No Friday episode. We're going to do something on Facebook or Periscope. Stay tuned for that. But a busy day tomorrow. We won't be able to record, but we'll bring you the Locked On Broncos post-game report Monday following the game, as well as the pregame show on Monday to get you ready for Chiefs-Broncos. I know I'm very excited about that matchup. Nervous, anxious. I think Broncos country now is all very anxious regarding that. But coming up, we have the Buccaneers and the Bears. I'm thinking Ryan Fitzmagic kills the narrative that Jameis Winston should start. I think the Buccaneers go on the road at you know, obviously Soldier Field, and I think they're going to beat Trubisky and the Bears. Buccaneers on top. And then we got the Bengals and the Falcons doing battle in Atlanta. The Bengals, you know, I think this is a game for them where they're just a little outmatched going on the road. I think the Falcons, you know, really coming off of a duel with the Saints last week. The Falcons, I think they got too much firepower for the Bengals to keep up with and contain. I think they're going to win this one easily, come out on top. Falcons in this one over the Bengals, as well as the Seahawks traveling on the road to take on the Arizona Cardinals. Question here, how good is Josh Rosen going to play against a divisional rival? The Seahawks had a big win over the Cowboys last week. I think the Seahawks are a better team than most people give them credit for. They're starting to get things gelling a little bit defensively. They're starting to get back on track. I got the Seahawks going on the road, winning a divisional game in this matchup here. Now, the real question for this week is, are the Browns really that good? Is their defense as good as it's projected on paper? I think it is. But it's going to be a test when they have to go on the road and take on Derek Carr and the Red Hot Raiders, who are 0-3. I think the Raiders might be one of the better defeated teams that haven't won a single game in the NFL right now. I think they're one of the better teams out there that haven't won a game. The Browns defense, though, really doing a good job holding some of the NFL's highest scoring teams in the league right now to under the point total that they have. You know, the Saints average 45 points a game right now. They held them to, I believe, 21 total points when they matched up. The Browns are a different team this year. Baker Mayfield is the starting quarterback now for the Browns over Tyrod Taylor. I think Baker Mania runs wild in this one. I think the Browns eke it out with a last-second field goal in the fourth quarter to go up on top in a close game, and I think the Browns win this one. The Browns going to make some moves here.
Hey, man, if the Browns win two games, that's like winning the Super Bowl, just like they won their first game. To come back, I'm actually going to say with the Bears over the Buccaneers, I think that the Conor McGregor impersonation of Fitzpatrick is going to end, unfortunately.
No.
I got Bears over Buccaneers. I got Falcons over the Bengals. And I'm going to go with the Seahawks over the Cardinals. And I'm actually going to go with the Raiders over the Browns, not for the simple fact that I think the Browns are a really good football team, but I just think that there was such an emotional high over that victory that it's a that sort of carries a lot of weight as far as a potential hangover effect for Cleveland. We'll see if it happens. I mean, it is your first win in 2 years. Well, so,
I'm going to go back to your Bears thing. The Bears will do nothing. They'll do nothing against Fitzpatrick. That's my prediction. He goes out in three. Yeah, they're gonna control the game for three quarters, win it on a late field goal in the fourth quarter. I think Buccaneers, Ryan Fitzmagic, Ryan McGregor, it's gonna come full steam. He's gonna kill the narrative. He's balling at the age of 65 in the NFL. I'm excited about that. But yeah, the Buccaneers, they had a great comeback against the Steelers. They couldn't finish it, but they were down quite a bit. They made that comeback. I got faith in the Buccaneers here. The Bears absolutely didn't play that well last week, obviously coming up on top against the Cardinals. You know, they've got a lot of resurgence with Khalil Mack, but yeah, Ryan Fitzmagic, he can defeat Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is going to go down, so we're going to see about that. But yeah, very excited about these matchups. Saints and Giants, I think the Saints win that one easily. The Giants, they are who we thought they were. Not that good. And then the 49ers on the road at the Chargers. You know, CJ Beathard, he's going to be starting at quarterback now. The Chargers are very damn talented, and the Chargers are going to win this game against the Niners. Like I said at the top of the hour, my good friend Nick Ferguson, former NFL safety for the Broncos, amongst other teams, he's a coaching intern there, and they lost Jimmy Garoppolo last week. Very sad news. There was a lot of tears in the locker room following that game. Just a lot of frustration, and especially coming off that loss to Kansas City. They gave up a lot of points in that game, but kind of get you some optimism. We got one more game to cover, and I'll tell you what Nick told me that can help the Broncos in this matchup. The Ravens go on Sunday Night Football on the road. They just defeated the Broncos, and then the Steelers coming off a win against the Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. That's going to be a divisional game on Sunday Night Football. Big game. I think the Ravens, they're pretty darn good this year, in my opinion. I think they've got some talent this year. I think they're going to come out on top in this one. But let's get to the main event here. This is the last part we're going to talk about here on Lockdown Broncos. I promise we'll let you go. But the Chiefs had the Broncos. Nick Ferguson told me they went a lot of zone coverage in the first half against the Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes absolutely lit them up. He said you cannot go zone coverage. They learned the hard way. He said they went more man-to-man coverage in the second half, and they only held them I can't remember how much it was. He just tweeted it. He texted it to me. But he said they really held them to different amount of points there. He said they, in the second half, they held them to a tune of 3 points last week, and they went a little bit more man-to-man coverage. He said you can't just sit back and play zone against them, but in the second half, they went a little bit more man coverage, got hands on receivers, and then obviously they only held them to 3 points in the second half. So that's a big philosophy. I said it all week, Cam. I think you and I both said it. The Broncos have to be physical with the receivers if they want to win this game. So much concern and just question right now at the cornerback of the defensive line. Not the defensive line, the defensive back in the secondary, and the linebackers in terms of coverage. It's going to be a tough game with Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and them. I got the, I don't know. I'm not. You go first. You give your pick, and I'll give mine. Whatever you pick, I'm going to piggyback off of it.
I'm going to go Chiefs, but I'm going to talk about a little bit of what I talked about on the Locked On crossover with the Chiefs. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. And there was that comment made by Ryan Tracy that I kept coming back to, that I kept thinking about. Who was the first team that Patrick Mahomes faced?
The Broncos, week 17.
And, you know, if you look at it, you know, and Ryan Tracy brought it up, you know, you are now starting to enter that mode where teams will have a lot of tape on you, a lot of tape to the point where they can make the schemes to make sure that they stop you. Now, granted, the Kansas City Chiefs do run a lot of gadget plays, and the Denver Broncos in the past. Yeah. Want to reiterate that have done a really good job of stopping those gadget plays. But that said, there was really one player in particular that would torch the defense, and that was Travis Kelce. So we will see, but I think it's going to be a much closer game than people think. It's a primetime game, and when it's a primetime game, all the awareness, all the football awareness gets heightened, because you want to come out and you want to punch Patrick Mahomes in the mouth. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if you play a physical style of football with the Kansas City Chiefs and match it pound for pound, then it's going to be a really good game. And but I still think that the Denver Broncos offense is going to have to score some points in this game.
No question.
They're going to have to score points in this game. And it's unfortunate that Jake Butt's injury happened right at the most key moment and the biggest game, biggest conference game of the schedule. We'll see if they can utilize that. Maybe with Jeff Hireman in the passing game, because I think he's a much better athlete than people give him credit for. We'll see, but I think the Chiefs come out on top.
And, you know, as much as I hate to say it right now, if we base this game for the Broncos, looking at the Ravens game, the Seahawks game, the Raiders game, the Broncos in this one, if they don't change those things that have been absolutely hindering them in those 3 weeks, they are not going to come out on top in this game. And really, a lot of it, there is some analysis. There's a big microscope right now on not only Case Keenum, but also Vance Joseph, and even Joe Woods at this point. If these errors don't fix, there's going to be some questions. There's going to be some concerns for this Broncos team early on, especially a home game, and a divisional home game on national television. The last time the Broncos and the Chiefs have played on national television, the last two times, it hasn't been very good for the Broncos. You had the Christmas Day massacre on the road in Kansas City, and then you had the game on Sunday Night Football where Trevor Siemian actually played really well. Benny Fowler caught that touchdown, and then they went down at the end, kicked the field goal to win the game. You know, those things right there, it just hasn't worked out in the Broncos' favor. They need a really big rebound this week, and if they can beat the Red Hot Chiefs on Monday Night Football while the world is watching and make some changes, they can silence some of these critics. They can silence some of these fears and concerns that Broncos country and a lot of NFL community members have in this game. There is game tape right now. There's a lot more game tape right now on Patrick Mahomes than there was the last 2 weeks. So right there, there adds a little bit of element of a surprise, some formula. What can the Broncos do to slow down his ability? You have to keep outside contained. You have to get hands on receivers. You can't let the tight end off the line of scrimmage free. He can't just run freely across the middle. I think we're going to see a lot of play action fakes from the Chiefs, and they're going to go to Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. They're going to use Tyreek Hill on a lot of jet motions, jet sweeps. Those are going to be things that can absolutely hurt the Broncos, but it doesn't end right there. The Chiefs have Kareem Hunt, who absolutely dominated the Broncos last year. In the run game, receiving the ball out of the backfield, Kareem Hunt has the ability to do double damage to this Broncos defense, and they really cannot afford for the Broncos offense to punt consecutive drives in a row. The Broncos offense has to score points on pretty much every other series. I'd like it if they could do it every series. That's the goal. That's the goal you want to have. But you cannot have series where you go three straight drives, four straight drives without any points, where you punt the ball or you have a turnover. If you have that, you are going to lose this game. So the Broncos, offensively, they got to get it going. Defensively, you got to change, you got to adjust, and you have to make these key adjustments that you haven't made. That's where a lot of Broncos fans, week in and week out, miss Aqib Talib. They miss Wade Phillips because we're just not seeing those adjustments. There's some evident and visible frustration amongst Broncos country right now, which we'll talk about. Pre-game show on Monday here on the Lockdown Podcast Network, Lockdown Broncos Podcast. Post-game report immediately following the show. But that'll do it for our NFL picks here tonight on the Lockdown Broncos Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at Lockdown Broncos, at Cameron Parker PO, and at Cody Work NFL. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Leave a review of the show. This weekend on Sunday, we're going to announce the prize for the Locked On Broncos contest giveaway, and you are going to have a chance to enter to win. And we're very excited about that. Given back in September's Locked On Broncos contest giveaway, some cool stuff. You'll receive some memorabilia or items that are Broncos related. We'll send them to you for being a lucky listener and an avid listener and supporter of the show. That'll do it here tonight. We'll see you guys on Monday.